I'll actually be reading from a couple of other verses as well, because although it says one thing in the Bible, there are three one things. but then there's also three in one God. I don't know how that all works, but the one thing, there are three one things, and one happens pre-resurrection, one happens during the Messiah's incarnation, and then one happens post-resurrection. So I think that's why there are three one things, three different maybe emphasis in those three different times, but they're essentially they overlap, and I believe they do have one thing in common. All right, well, how's everyone doing?
Good.
Today's April 1st, and I don't have any April Fool's jokes for you, so don't worry. I'm not going to pull any. Two years ago, though, I think I shared this story with a couple of you guys, but 2 years ago, it was a Friday. And I remember it was a Friday because it was my wife and I's engagement party, rehearsal dinner. And for our rehearsal dinner, we had everyone come in, fly in. My parents flew in from Japan, and a couple family members, and Mandy's family flew in from Minnesota, and we had our rehearsal dinner. And I thought it would be funny to give an April Fool's joke. So when I had the mic, I said, "Well, my wife and I, we've been praying, and we feel God is leading us to postpone the marriage." I don't think my parents got it, because, you know, they're from Japan. They don't really understand English too well. But my wife's side of the family, yeah, I guess her dad almost fell out of his chair and was ready to strangle me. But April Fools, right? What can I say? Anyways, all right. And today is also Palm Sunday. Praise God. Amen. But this whole month, I want to talk about the theme of passion. To be passionate about God. And so today's message is called One Thing. And there are, again, three different times where the Bible says one thing. And so let's look at the first time it comes out. It's in Psalms 27, verses 4 through 5. This is the great king of Israel, David, who pens this psalm. Psalms 27, turn there with me if you have your Bibles. All right, that sounds a lot better. Thank you, Mark. Psalms 27. Psalm 27, verse 4 and following reads like this. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Amen. One thing David did. One thing David sought and was the most important thing prior to God with us, Emmanuel. God's presence on the earth. One thing was to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, of course, we know that God is everywhere, all the time. And I'm sure David knew that fact about God, that He is omnipresent. But there is a difference between the presence of the Lord and just God being everywhere. The Lord says, "Seek my face." Throughout Scripture, the Lord says, "Turn from sin, repent, and seek me with all your heart." And David, one thing David did more than anything was this. He asked and he sought. He was a man of great devotion. He spent his time asking and seeking. In fact, if you study the life of David, one thing you'll notice that is repeated about David is he inquired of the Lord. He asked the Lord. He sought the Lord. When he failed to do that, that's when he really fell into sin. But he inquired of God to ask and seek. He asked to be in the Lord's presence. To do what? It says, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. You know, David was a great man of God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. You know, David was a great warrior of God. He cut off Goliath's head and put it on a pole and just walked around the streets with it. He was a bad man. He was a good man, I mean. He was a good, bad meaning good. Anyways, I'm sure you got that. But he was a man after God's heart. But David also had his failures. He had his faults. I mean, scripture is very candid about David's own fault. One of his failures in life was he looked at. For example, he saw Bathsheba and he fell into sin. You guys know that story? And so his weakness was girls. Early on, my friend told me, hey, Ak, there are three things you need to watch out for, the three G's. You guys know about the three G's? Gold, glory, and girls. Those are the three G's I need to watch out for. But David, you know, he had a lot of glory, but he never sought after glory. It never bothered him. He had a lot of gold. He was a king, but that never bothered him. But one thing that did affect his life was girls, and it's recorded in the Bible, and it's interesting that David here says, "One thing I seek is His Shekinah glory, is His glory, the presence of the Lord, to see." To gaze upon that. If you read the scriptures, it talks about things in life that never say enough. One of those things that never say enough is the eye. The eye will never have enough seeing. And what I got from that, what the Lord showed me from that is this. You know, there's always a price to be paid. And I know most of you know this, but, you know, especially sin. Sin has a price tag attached to it. When we use our eyes to take pleasure and delight anything other than the Lord, like this, like David said here, anything outside of the Lord, there's a price tag attached to it. And what does the Bible say? The eye will never say enough. What is the price tag when we delight our eyes on things other than the Lord? You know what the price tag is? It's discontent. That's the price we pay. If we gaze upon anything other than the Lord. A life of discontent. Temporary pleasure for a life of discontent. Next time when you feel like guys and girls delighting and taking pleasure with your eyes other than the Lord, remember the price you have to pay. It is discontent. Whether you're Christian or not, it is discontent. There's a lot of Christians living in discontent, and it's because I believe they don't capture this one thing that David captured. To be in His presence. To gaze upon the Lord. Again, like I said earlier, though David was a mighty warrior, he realized his victory depended on one thing. And it wasn't his excellent sword skills. It wasn't his instinct. It wasn't his ability to cut down people. You know, if there was a fight, you would want David next to you. You know, that it's like, yeah, me and him, we're going to take on all of you. You'd want David. But even David himself, he says this. the reason why one thing to be in his presence, he says, verse 5, it says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." David depended on one thing, his presence. Now, I don't know the reason why Tucson is being hit so hard financially. And I know you are experiencing it. Whether it's your neighbor's house being foreclosed, whether it's you yourself losing a job or can't find a job, I know that some way or somehow this, I do think it's spiritual, but whatever is hitting Tucson is affecting you. Do you know how to find victory in this situation? Be a person of one thing. Like David. One thing David did. Although he was a mighty warrior, he didn't depend on his strength. He depended on the Lord's providence. Amen? One thing. And let's look at the next one. Turn with me real quick to what we just read. Luke chapter 10. Let me read that one more time. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." There's an exclamation mark there in my Bible, so she probably yelled that out. You know, I'm not gonna do it, but. Anyways, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Again, this is an issue of our quality of life in the Lord. And just because we're Christian, and just because we believe in Jesus, and just because we live for Him, I believe many of us were living lesser than what we could be. Amen? I don't think any of us could stand here and say, maybe some of you. I don't know all of you. I don't know if 100% of us here could say, "I'm living fully in all of God's promises." I can't say that. I don't know if you can. If you can, praise God, amen, you should be speaking. We'll give you the mic next week. But I believe the quality of life really depends on one thing. And when we choose other than that one thing, it really affects our quality of life. And it says here, "Martha, Martha, you're upset, you're worried, and one thing is needed." Really, only one thing is really needed. You choose that one thing, your quality of life will just go off the roof. You won't be worried and upset about all these things. Now, whenever I read the Gospels, my holy imagination just starts taking control of me, especially when I have to speak. So I'm going to take some liberties in this story, and hopefully you're not offended by it, but I'm going to do it anyways. But, you know, this is a story where Martha, and while Aiko was reading the Japanese version, I noticed it said Martha yorokonde. She gladly invited Jesus and his disciples in the house. And of course, as Jesus and his crew came into the house, Martha had a lot of social expectations placed on her. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs about Jewish culture, but apparently Martha did. And she was fulfilling all the expectations placed on her by herself and by other people. All the expectations except the Lord's expectation. You ever feel that some way? You're fulfilling what everybody else wants you to do. And you feel somehow, deep inside, you're missing the point. You know, Martha was doing all the right things. She was being a great host. I've been to a lot of a couple of you guys' houses, and you guys were just very, very excellent hosts. Thank you. I thank you so much. But Martha here, she was doing what she was supposed to do. You notice that? And I don't know exactly when Martha lost it in Japanese, kireta. I don't know exactly when that happened, but it happened. And this is where my imagination it kicks in. So I feel like, you know, people were just hearing the Lord speak like you guys are hearing me speak right now and just having a great time. Well, I feel, you know, as the Lord was teaching, I feel like everyone was mesmerized upon the Lord. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, being Jesus, cracked a joke. And then everyone just started laughing, and you could just probably hear Mary's laugh just go, you know, reach Martha's ears, and Martha finally says, "Wait! What's going on? Jesus, what are you doing? Mary's not even supposed to probably be listening to you teach in my culture." I don't know. See, I don't know all the ins and outs of Jewish culture. But Martha just finally loses it. She absolutely loses it. You know, she's cleaning people's feet, washing people's feet, and doing all this other stuff. And she's like, I could use some help, Mary, you know, under her breath. But Mary is just captivated by the Lord. And the Lord says a joke, you know. I'm not going to say a joke. It might not be. Anyway, and Martha, you know, loses it because everyone's having a good time. Everyone's just having a grand time. Let me just tell you, if you're not having a good time at church, you might just be a Martha. I'm just saying. You know, if you're coming to church and you're like, I remember, this has nothing to do with people who stack the chairs up here. But I remember in my church, you know, we had to stack the chairs up, and there was a lot of church. There was like 300 chairs and stuff, and you know, some people were just talking on the side, and one of the persons like, you know, we could use some help stacking the chairs, and kind of thing. She was kind of said it kind of, you know, sarcastically, and you know, I felt like that's a Martha spirit right there. If you're not, you know, you don't have to stack the chairs. We could use your help, but it's going to get done. I feel like a lot of times as a pastor, I play Martha. You know, it's, unfortunately, it's hard for me to just sit at church and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but it's just for me, sometimes I feel like I'm Martha. Because my mind is just distracted and worried and about all these other things. Jesus tells Martha, look, Mary chose what is better. We have choices every day, don't we? So we had a choice today whether we come or not. And while we're here, we have a choice whether we enjoy it or not, right? Instead of saying, oh, that song, I don't really like that song. Or, oh, that preacher, I don't really like his voice. Or, you know, we have a choice. Mary chose to just sit and listen. And it was better. Sometimes we really need to just sit and listen. You know, we could have church, be here on time, leave late. Let me tell you, if we don't experience God's presence as the first one thing, Or in the second one thing, we don't sit and quiet ourselves and listen. You know, we're really missing the point. We could fulfill everybody else's social expectation of us, of being at church, being a good Christian, and miss the expectation that God has on us. Amen? After service, we'll do a little exercise to show what it looks like practically. So I'm excited about that. I hope you're excited. We're going to do a spiritual exercise. Amen. We're not just going to hear and listen, but we're actually going to do today. Praise God. All right. Now let's look at the last one thing, and then we'll go into our spiritual exercise. It's in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. He says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Amen. Paul says, one thing I do is I'm going to take all of my religious trophies and forget about them. If you read it in context, it's talking about his righteousness prior to coming to know Jesus. You know, being a Jew, being a Pharisee, being circumcised, following all the laws and all the requirements of being a good Jewish person. He was doing all of that without God. He was doing all the right things, the good things, without God. And he's saying, all of that prior to knowing God, I'm going to put aside. Another way of saying it is this. I'm going to take my dead religion and replace it with a living relationship. I'm going to put away my dead religion and forget about that. And I'm going to press forward a living relationship with God. I'm going to strain for taking hold of knowing God. One thing Paul did. See, Paul, for type A people, you'll love Paul. Type A people, they don't like Mary. Type A people, when they hear Mary's story, they're like, you know, there's a time when we need to be Martha. No, that's not what the story is saying. You have to be Mary. Okay? And if you want to be type A and still be type A, go to Paul. Because Paul is a type A. He said, one thing I do, I forget my dead religion and go towards a living relationship, and I strain for that prize. And Paul, if you look at his life, he did a lot of things. And Paul really looked like a Martha, but he really wasn't Mary. You know, there are Marys that look like Marthas and Marthas that look like Marys. Does that make sense? All right, my wife is shaking her head, but she's my wife, so she has to. Yeah, there are people who just sit for God and don't do anything. They know all the right answers, you know. They know Greek, they know Hebrew, they know the Old Testament, they know the New, and you know, they know all the great biblical authors, and they don't do anything. Yeah, you're not being a Mary, you're being a Martha. And then there are those who are so busy for the Lord. And it's like, man, this guy, he just needs to slow down. But no, that person is being a Mary. It's really not what the outside that counts. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, Paul lived to win a prize. And he was very intense. You know, I gotta confess to you, yesterday I watched a whole lot of TV. I watched a whole lot of basketball yesterday. It was the Final Four, and I love the Final Four. I love basketball, and I was watching basketball. But as I was watching basketball, I was watching with the Lord. I'm just saying that. And April Fool's. As I was watching basketball, I noticed it's just the Final Four, it is so intense. By the end of the game, it just gets really sloppy. And it's because they spent all of their energy. And when you spend all of your energy, you just, something has to give, right? If you really want to win, you really need to have an intensity, a tenacity, a fierceness like Paul. Paul, when he says, I wanted to win a prize, he really wanted to win that prize. And he ran harder than anyone in the New Testament other than Jesus. He really is a great example for us. And one thing he did was to win that prize. And he kept his eyes on Jesus. Just like David did. Just like Mary did. One thing I do is I forget my dead religion and press on towards a living relationship. You know, this... I like to work out a lot, as you can tell. No, just kidding. But anyways, I'm trying to lose weight. I like to work out. And I like to work out late at night. If you want to see me, I'm at Cortaro, I'm at the LA Fitness there from like 11 and 12, usually. They close at, yeah, I'm a night owl, I don't know. Anyways, they close at 12, and so I like to go late at night when no one else is there, because I don't like to just wait around and, you know, be in a busy gym. So I go late at night. There was one day, though, I just had a really busy day, and I didn't have time to spend with the Lord. Those days happen, right? Is it just me? You guys are looking at me, really? Yeah. It was just busy day. I didn't have time to spend time with the Lord. And it was about 11 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, I need to go work out. Right? I really need to go work out. But since I didn't spend time with the Lord, I felt, you know what? I need to spend time with the Lord. And, you know, it wasn't even like a big decision. It was probably more like, I'm really tired physically. I'm going to spend time with the Lord rather than go work out. But, you know, I chose to spend time with the Lord. You know what happened? As soon as I sat down and closed my eyes and prayed, I felt the Lord saying, thank you for not giving me your leftovers. Because I could have easily worked out and then spent time afterwards. But I felt the Lord saying, thank you for not giving me your leftovers. It's so important that we spend time with the Lord. And that's really the only thing that's needed. Everything else will fall into place. I'm not saying we don't have to work. I'm not saying we don't have to provide. I'm not saying we don't have to have relationships. I'm not saying all of that. I'm saying when we get that one thing right, everything else will fall into place. There's an order in His kingdom. And in order for that order to be right, we need to have one thing. It's to be with the Lord. And so now I want to... do a little spiritual exercise, if that's okay with you. Psalms 46:10. You don't have to turn there. It's a very famous psalm. You could write it down. But it says, be still and know that I am Lord. It says, be still and experience me as Lord. That's what it means to know. And whenever you see know in the Bible, it's a biblical know. It's a knowing. Not just, oh, I know, I don't know, but it's not an intellectual knowing. It's an experiential knowing. And so today, as we close our service, I want all of you to get relaxed. Put your hand out like this, like you're receiving something. Yeah, like this, everyone. Put your hand out like this, like you're receiving, going to receive something. And I want you to expect that you're going to receive something too. Okay? Because, you know, in God's economy, it's run by faith. If we don't have faith and expectation, we're not going to get anything. That's just how the Lord works. He loves faith, is attracted to faith, and he's saying, if you don't have faith, you can't please God. But so let's put our hands out like this. We're going to close our eyes. And we're going to be still and know that He is God. And whenever I try to engage with the Lord, you can do this too, but I say this. Holy Spirit, come. So I want you to say that, expecting that something will happen. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Yes, Lord, we pray that you would fill this place. Holy Spirit, come. Now, as you're engaging with the Lord, I feel some of you are feeling a tingling sensation. Some of you are feeling wind. Some of you are feeling just peace. Now, as we close this time, give the Lord one thing that is just weighing heavy on your heart. Just give that to the Lord. Father, we pray that we would carry your yoke today. That you would lift off our heavy yokes. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. It's easy, right? You could do that, you know, in between meetings. You could do that, you know, when you have a couple of seconds of free time. I want you to practice that. Just being still and know that He is God. It will affect your life.